The shock of September 11th forced Americans to confront the distant violence of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and their radical Saudi guest Osama bin Laden. This summer, in a presidential election season colored by government terror alerts, commentator and journalist Steve Call says those faraway lands still have the power to influence American democracy.
On September 11th, 2001, Americans discovered common cause with Afghanistan. A few weeks later, I attended a hockey game in Washington, and as we all stood for the anthem, beefy suburbanites with heavy metal haircuts began to shout profane, chanted warnings to the Taliban, Afghanistan's medieval governing militia. I wasn't sure whether to laugh or weep. For half a decade, many isolated Afghans crushed by Taliban rule had wished devoutly for rescue by America or the United Nations. Now the Americans were coming, but among many other challenges, the Afghans would have to get used to our way of whooping and our short attention spans. 3 years later, in the summer of 2004, Americans and Afghans are bound again, this time by a season of national elections. In October, if all goes as planned, Afghanistan will hold its first legitimate national vote in more than three decades. The election's timing ensures that President Bush and Senator Kerry will have to talk about Afghanistan for at least a day or two. That would be a change. For the candidates, as for many Americans, Afghanistan has faded once more to the second tier, a distant, obscure place of uncertain significance. A successful Afghan vote might help President Bush in November. A less successful one might hurt him. Judging by the summer's events in Afghanistan, either outcome seems possible. There have been some encouraging signs in the capital of Kabul, where warlords have been jockeying for position on the ballot like Tammany-era bosses. Threats, betrayals, and bizarre alliances of convenience have defined the campaign, but this seems an improvement over previous political methods such as assassination and guerrilla war. Interim President Hamid Karzai shocked the admittedly small world of Afghan political watchers last month when he declined to nominate his defense minister, Mohammad Fahim, as his vice presidential running mate. Fahim is an old Northern Alliance tough whose opponents accuse him of keeping a private militia under arms. He and Karzai have a bizarre history. 10 years ago, when Karzai was deputy foreign minister and Fahim was intelligence chief, Fahim ordered Karzai's arrest on suspicion of spying for Pakistan. Karzai only escaped from a downtown interrogation cell when an enemy rocket slammed into the building and blew a hole in the wall. Such is politics in Afghanistan. You stagger along between acts of war and acts of God, struggling to tell the difference. There is still the threat of the Taliban, who have always seen war as God's will and who don't subscribe to any politics but their own. This year, they have killed scores of Afghan civilians who show the temerity to register to vote. If the Taliban have their way, we may all watch large numbers of ordinary Afghan men and women die in October while standing in line, attempting to cast a ballot. Of course, Americans, too, are set to go to the polls in November under a terror watch. Intelligence officials warn that the Taliban's allies in Al-Qaeda may seek to kill Americans in an attempt to disrupt or influence the U.S. presidential election. 3 years after September 11th, then, ordinary Americans and Afghans find themselves once again on common ground, tied together, if not by the political or cultural ideas they share, then at least by the enemies who have chosen them.
Steve Call is the managing editor of The Washington Post and the author of Ghost Wars, The Secret History of the CIA, Afghanistan, and Bin Laden, from the Soviet Union to September 10th, 2001.